Blog Talk Radio.
Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He said that upon this rock I'm gonna build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh no. Tempted to do wrongs, I get on my knees and I start to give him thanks. He showed me the path to righteousness, and he promised me on solid ground I'll stand. He said that
up on this rock I'm gonna build my church.
Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm so blessed to welcome you all here to the Common Sense Files with your host, Brother Rick Altman, and yours truly for this Friday, July 14th, 2023. But before we start this program, we have to stop and first give God some glory and have a word of prayer. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne right now, just praying that in the name of Jesus, that we would give you all honor and glory as we share about your Ten Commandments on tonight. Father, I pray that you will use this teaching to build up your people, hallelujah, to edify them, to empower them, to equip them. And Lord, we pray that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that tonight would be the night that they would make the decision to make you their Lord and their Savior. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray all things. Amen and amen. So once again, good evening,
amen.
Everyone. It's so such a blessing to see all the Spirit Alive family in the house. We've got Mother Mitchell in the house. We've got Apostle Zeta Flowers in the house. We've got our two darling twin mothers from the Good Shepherd. They're also mothers of Spirit Alive. We have Mother Givens in the house, and we have Mother Scott in the house, and we have our beloved friends from out in California, our dear brother Lee and dear sister Terry is in the house. So we just want to thank God for all of them being here, and on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to tonight's program. Amen and amen. So once again tonight, we will be continuing on our transformational journey through our study of the Ten Commandments, still the best moral code, written by Dennis Prager. Now tonight, we will be looking at the commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. But before we get into our teaching for tonight, glory, I'm going to ask our Christian Commandant of Common Sense, Brother Rick Altman, to come forth to give us some opening comments, just kind of let you know where we've been with this book, why we chose this book, and we're just going to let him do what he does so well. So, Brother Altman, come on in the room. You have our undivided attention, sir.
Thank you, Bishop Shirlene. And as you said, tonight, with the two commandments we'll be reviewing, we'll be talking to both adults and to children. Okay, but it's important to keep in mind that when Moses came down Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, these weren't commandments telling people how to act in heaven. These were telling people how to act on earth.
Come on.
And now the family is the basis of our culture and our country and our civilization, and following or ignoring the Ten Commandments is first felt at the family level. Then it moves out to the neighborhood, your friends, your neighbors, and others. From the neighborhood, it goes to your town or city. Eventually, the whole country and our civilization is affected by the behavior of our people, be it good or be it bad. Okay. Now, why is the family so important? Well, a child is born into a family, and he sees the world through the family's eyes. His introduction to civilization is through his family. Okay, it is. Parents belong to a community, so does he, and they're subject to rules and privileges. But the family is the nucleus of civilization and the basic social unit of society. And for a civilization to succeed, the family must succeed. The family is the linchpin to society, both economical and socially. And so it's in the family where we want to teach the Ten Commandments, follow the Ten Commandments, and feel the effect of the behavior brought on by the Ten Commandments, the positive effect. Now, I recently watched the movie from 1955 called Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford, Sidney Poitier, Aunt Frances, Jamie Farr, who was Klinger in MASH, was in it, Vic Morrow, about a rundown high school in New York City with a bunch of thugs. And the teacher, played by Glenn Ford, gets beaten up by a gang, and he isn't being that helpful to the police. And one of the cops gives him a little talk, and he says, look, he's dealt with kids like this from both sides of the tracks. Now, remember, this is 1955. And he says, and the book was written in 54, and they made a movie of it in 55. And the cop is telling the teacher, most of these kids were five or six during the last war, World War II. Father was in the army. Mother was in a defense plant. No home life, no church life, no place to go. So they formed street gangs with the gang leaders taking the place of the parents. I didn't remember mm-hmm. that scene from when I had first seen that movie in the past, but it was certainly surprising to see it in a 1955 context because we see it everywhere today, too. And it's true. The gang leaders certainly aren't talking about the Ten Commandments, but the opposite, of course. But that was – I looked at that, and for the first time, you know, Louis Pasteur said, chance favors the prepared mind. Bang, there it was. You know, you don't have any family life. You don't learn any values. And then what do you have? And in this school, it was just chaos run by thugs. But it was great watching that old movie with those old actors. But just asking everybody listening, imagine what our lives, our families, our society would be like if we all followed these commandments. So we'll start with do not commit adultery. And as Dennis Prager says, the best way to protect the family. And then it's actually funny. He says, there's an old joke about the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai and announces, I have good news and bad news. The good news is I got him down to 10. The bad news is adultery stays. So the joke is telling. The prohibition on married people having sexual relations with anyone except their spouse may be for many people the most consistently difficult of the Ten Commandments to observe. And the reason shouldn't be that hard to guess. One is the enormous power of the sex drive, you know, hormones. It'd be very hard to be kept in check for the entirety of one's marriage, especially when an attractive outsider makes him or herself sexually or romantically available. Another reason is the human desire to love and to be loved. For people, there are no more powerful emotions than love. And if one falls in love with someone while married, it takes great effort not to commit adultery with that person. And this comes back to your moral code, right? And mm-hmm. if we add in the unfortunate circumstances, a loveless marriage, adultery becomes even more difficult to resist. That's why the joke is funny, because it reflects the truth. So why is adultery prohibited in the Ten Commandments? Because, like the other nine, it is indispensable to forming and maintaining higher civilization. Adultery threatens the very building block of civilization that the Ten Commandments seeks to create, and that building block is the family. A married father and mother mm-hmm. and their children. Anything that threatens the family unit is prohibited in the Bible. Adultery is one example. Not honoring one's father and mother is another. And the prohibition on injecting any sexuality into the family unit, incest, is a third example. So why is the family so important? Because without it, social stability is impossible. Because without it, the passing on of society's values from one generation to the next generation is impossible. Because commitment to a wife and children make men more responsible and mature. Because more than anything else, family meets most women's deepest emotional and material needs, and nothing comes close to the family in giving children a secure and stable childhood. So nothing comes close to the family in giving children a secure and stable childhood. Certainly not gangs, right? So, so why does adultery threaten the family? The most obvious reason is that sex with someone other than one's spouse can all too easily lead to either or both spouses leaving the marriage. Adultery should not automatically lead to divorce, but it often does. There is another reason adultery can destroy a family. It can lead to pregnancy and then the birth of a child. That child will, in almost all cases, start out life with no family, meaning no father and mother married to each other to call his or her own, and, of course, no teaching that would come from the father and the mother. And if adultery doesn't destroy a family, it almost always does terrible harm to a marriage. Aside from the sense of betrayal and loss of trust that it creates, it means that the adulterous partner lives a fraudulent life. Dishonest.
Yes.
When a husband or wife mm-hmm. is having sex with someone other than their spouse, their thoughts are constantly about that other person and about how to deceive the spouse. The life of deception in an adulterous affair necessarily entails inevitable damages to the marriage even if the betrayed spouse is unaware of the affair. It damages the person who's committing the act. Finally, the commandment prohibiting adultery doesn't come with an asterisk saying that adultery is okay if both spouses agree to it. We've heard that, right? Spouses who have extramarital sex with the permission of their husband or wife may not hurt their spouse's feelings, but they are still harming the institution of marriage and protecting the family, not only protecting spouses from emotional pain, is the reason for the commandment. Many marriages, sadly, are troubled, and it is not for any of us to stand in judgment of others' behavior in this realm. No one knows what goes on in someone else's marriage, and if we did, we might often well understand why one or the other sought love outside the marriage. But no higher civilization can be made or can endure one that condones adultery. That is why it is prohibited in the Ten Commandments. And again, we've, you know, come back to the family, you know, the most important, the keystone, the cornerstone of civilization. Mm-hmm. And once again, just asking people to just imagine what our lives and our society, our families, our society would be like if we all followed the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's why they were presented, was to give us the best moral code. So that's for the adults out there. That's for the adults out there, okay? And I like that joke at the beginning where Moses comes down and says he got him, you know, meaning God, down to 10 commandments, but the bad news is that adultery stays. That's I think that's important. And once again, defending the family, protecting the family, developing the family with the right set of core values is just so important to our future. Not just not just what happens to us, between each other on a daily basis, but we're also looking then to the future. And what do we tell future generations? And that, of course, is, you know, what we all agree on is that, we adults, yes, we should follow this code. We understand the code. But when we're introducing this code to younger people, we're being salesmen for the next generation is what we're doing. We're selling this moral code. We're giving them reasons, good reasons as to why they should act the way they do, and with the idea being that we're going to be able to develop a better society all around if more people will follow this code. And,
all right.
Now to the children, okay, and adults that need to hear this too. Do not steal. Thou shalt not steal.
Oh, wait, bro. Before we go into the do not steal, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You got to allow me to run this down Bible, the adultery part down Bible style. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And then we will go to do not steal. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, we told you that Mr. Prager's book was based on the Bible. This is one of now, we heard the commonsensical side of it from our brother Rick, and from Dennis Prager, but now I'm going to run it down to you Bible style, and I'm telling you, he stuck to the word of God on this one, on the for real, because one, the Bible clearly condemns adultery. It tells us point blank, you shall not commit adultery in Exodus 20:14.
Amen.
Because it violates, like he said, the commitment made in a marriage to be faithful to your marriage partner. Marriage is, the word of God says that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed, the marriage bed is undefiled. But he goes on to say, but fornicators, these are people that have sex before they are married. And adulterers, God will judge. That's what it says in Hebrews 13:4. And it is written of God that he has made everything beautiful and in its time. And that's in Ecclesiastes 3:11. And I'm coming to tell you tonight that the time that he has ordained for sexual intimacy is for when a man and a woman is in a covenant marriage relationship. Okay? And as my brother pointed out, I don't care. There is no such thing before God as a swinging lifestyle. I don't care if both parties say consent to these encounters. It's not ever going to be acceptable to God. Not now, not ever. Paul, the Apostle Paul, warns clearly against all such behavior. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And then all you have to do is take a look at 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, where it says, to be given a body by God is a great privilege, and we can use it to honor him who gave it. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the potential to use our bodies for glorifying God is also emphasized in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4. He says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Sanctification is the process, thanks to God, and those that might be listening. Sanctification is the process that takes place when we offer up ourselves, our obedience of our will to God. He separates us. He sets us apart for holiness and to be like him. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus extends adultery to a potentially hidden intentions within the heart. He said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That is in Matthew 5:27-28. He also emphasizes the extreme attitude one should take to avoid this sin. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Now, saints, when we are tempted with unclean thoughts, we can remember that Jesus gave us a way out of all of this. See, the word of God tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, because he was tempted on all sides at every point, but he didn't sin. So then the word of God goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's in Hebrews 4:15-16. And it says, at the throne of grace, we will receive the help we need, for that he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Now, my brother has already given you some very legitimate reasons why the adultery is in the, should be in there, but I'm going to give you a few more. First of all, when you commit adultery, it destroys your soul. He that is an adulterer for the folly of his heart shall destroy his own soul. Another reason is it deprives one of life. Because the word of God says in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that if somebody commits adultery, they should die according to the law. Okay? So sometimes the guilty one is not punished now bodily, which is to his disadvantage, since punishment of the body may be borne with patience and is conducive to the remission of sin, but all trust and believe, he's going to be punished. Another reason is adultery consumes your substance. Just as it happened with the prodigal son. You know, he wanted his money. He wanted all his stuff right now. And he got it. And he went out and he wasted it on living riotously. Okay? Another thing it does, like my brother pointed out, is it defiles your offspring. You know, the word of God says, the children of adultery shall not come to perfection. And the seed of the unlawful bed shall not be rooted out. And if they live long, they shall not be nothing regarding, and their last old age shall be without honor. So, like my brother has said, it messes up the kids, point blank, period. And then it takes away our honor. And I want to say something right here. Men and women commit adultery all the time. Okay, but if a man commits adultery, he's still called a man. If a woman commits adultery,
come on,
she's called everything but a woman. So, ladies, I'm telling you now, don't dishonor yourself by sleeping with that married man. Don't dishonor yourself by allowing yourself to be a harlot for a married man. You see, you have to understand that the bond between husband and wife is one of the strictest unions. And we need, if we love the Lord and we're married, we need to honor that. Now, that's for us within our family. But now I want to talk to you about another type of adultery. It's a spiritual adultery. Why is it that so many folks that call themselves Christians want to have a lifelong love affair with the world? If we are the bride of Christ, every man and woman who calls themselves a Christian, a disciple of Christ, a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ, you're married to Christ. But yet, so many of us, we want to say, oh, yeah, we're Christians. We're going to be, you know, we live by this moral code. No, we don't. Don't you know that when you say to Jesus Christ, you are my Lord and my Savior, you become part of the bride of Christ. So you can no longer live, profess Christ, and live like the world. And when you do, you are committing spiritual adultery. You cannot say, I'm in a relationship with God, but I'm having a wonderful affair with the world. It doesn't work that way. So some of us need to get real. We need to get really real, and we need to understand. You know, we want to gloss over parts of, you know, things. We want to do, oh, yeah, the Ten Commandments, they're not relevant anymore. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, they are. So that's my biblical, that's coming. I just want to make sure that you understood that Dennis Prager did, in fact, and this is one of the things we want to make very clear, the, you know, his book is indeed based up on the Word of God. And that is what I love about this book. Amen. Now, back to our common down of common sense. Brother Rick Oldman, for the next part. Thank you and amen.
Amen. All right. So, thou shalt not steal. All right. And Dennis says, keep this and you'll keep them all. A good case can be made that the English commandment, do not steal, is the one commandment that encompasses all others.
How does do not steal encompass the other commandments? Murder is stealing of another person's life. Adultery is stealing of another person's spouse. Coveting is the desire to steal what belongs to another person. Giving false testimony is stealing justice, and so on. This commandment is unique in another way. It is the only commandment that is completely open-ended. All the other commandments are specific. The fifth commandment, for example, states that it is our parents whom we should honor. The sixth commandment prohibits murder. It's about taking the life of an innocent human being. The seventh commandment prohibiting adultery is also specific to the married person. Two unmarried people cannot commit adultery, but the commandment against stealing doesn't even hint at what it is that we're forbidden to steal, which means that we cannot take anything that belongs to another person, and that in turn means three big things. First and foremost, the commandment against stealing has always been understood that we are not allowed to steal another human being, what we would call kidnapping. That is why no one who had even an elementary understanding of the Eighth Commandment could ever use the Bible to justify the most common form of slavery, the kidnapping of human beings and selling them into slavery. Critics of the Bible argue that the Bible allowed slavery, but the type of slavery described was in almost all cases what was known as indentured servitude, the selling of oneself to another person for a fixed period of time in order to work off a debt. This had nothing to do with kidnapping free people, such as was done in Africa elsewhere. That is expressly forbidden by the Eighth Commandment. The second significant meaning of the commandment against stealing is the sanctity of people's property. Just as we are forbidden to steal people, we are forbidden to steal what people own. It has been shown over and over that private property, beginning with land ownership, is indispensable to creating a free and decent society. Every totalitarian regime takes away private property rights. In the ancient and medieval world, a few rich people owned all the land, and the majority of the population worked on that land for the enrichment of the owners. And then, in 19th century Europe, many socialists argued for taking away private property and giving it to the people. Where that advice was followed, in what came to be known as the communist world, theft of property quickly resulted in theft of freedom and ultimately massive theft of life. The third enormously important meaning of the commandment against stealing concerns the many non-material things each person owns, like their reputation, their dignity, and their intellectual property. So we'll quickly run through these. A person's reputation. Stealing a person's good name, whether through libel, slander, or gossip, is a particularly destructive form of theft. Because unlike money or property, once a good person's good name has been stolen, it can almost never be fully restored.
Amen.
Two, a person's dignity. The act of stealing a person's dignity is known as humiliation. And humiliating a person, especially in public, can do permanent damage to what is perhaps the most precious thing any of us owns, our dignity. A person's trust. Stealing a person's trust is known as deceiving someone. In fact, in Hebrew, a term for tricking someone is, and I'm not going to try to read it, but which literally means stealing knowledge. One example is tricking people into buying something, as when a real estate agent omits telling a prospective purchaser all the flaws in a house in order to make the sale. Another example would be when someone deceives another person with insincere proclamations of love in order to obtain material or sexual favors. Intellectual property. A person's intellectual property, this form of theft, includes anything from copying software or downloading music and movies without paying for them to stealing a person's words, what is also known as plagiarism. Stealing a life, a person, a spouse, material property, intellectual property, a reputation, dignity, or trust, there is hardly any aspect of human life that is not harmed, sometimes irreparably so, by stealing. That is why it is fair to say that if everyone observed only one of the Ten Commandments, observing the commandment, do not steal, would all by itself make a more beautiful world.
Well,
so something like that. Now, back to the family. Thank you, Dennis, once again. Now, back to the family. And since he mentioned Marxism, we'll talk about Karl Marx for a second. Marx said in the Communist Manifesto in 1848, he called for the abolition of the family. Okay? Most importantly, Marx said that communism would ensure that children would be educated by the state and not by their parents. So think of that for a second. Okay? Now, after the communists took power in Russia in 1917, the Soviet first commissar for welfare put it very succinctly when she said, "The old family, narrow and petty, where the parents quarrel, are only interested in their own offspring, is not capable of educating the new person. Soviet schools even encourage students to snitch on their parents." But it didn't stop with Marx and Engels, and it didn't stop in the Soviet Union. Hungarian communists managed to establish a Hungarian Soviet for a short period of time in 1919. They quickly realized that the way to completely change society was to destroy the most important civil society institution, the family. Its culture and education commissar, George Lucas, therefore instituted a system to instruct young people into sexual perversions. Sounds kind of modern, huh? Luchak's biographer described it this way. Special lectures were organized in schools and literature printed and distributed to instruct children about free love, the nature of sexual intercourse, about the archaic nature of family codes, about the outdatedness of monogamy, okay, and the irrelevance of religion, which deprives man of all pleasure. Children urged thus to reject and deride paternal authority and the authority of the church and to ignore the precepts of morality. Now, this didn't last too long in Hungary because the Hungarian people, it lasted about 133 days and the Hungarian people threw it out. But you can see that there are forces out there that understand what a strong family can mean. A strong moral family can mean a strong moral society, can make it harder for thieves to prosper, people that would not only steal your money but steal your freedom. So, totalitarians realize that the way to completely change society is to destroy our most important civil society institution, and that's the family. So, once again, we're back to the family. We're back to the teachings of the family. And the thing to remember, and we'll talk about this next time when we talk about lying, is remember that young people, I mean little ones, toddlers, as they're starting to grow up, and they hit 4 or 5 years old, and that's when they really start to see what's going on in the world. They want to join. They want to be accepted. They want to be liked. So they want to know how to act. How to act. And it's our job to then teach these young people, you know, don't steal. If you steal something, not only won't your brother like you, but your friends won't like you anymore. They won't invite you to their houses. Okay, don't lie. If you lie, then your parents will wonder, you know, are you telling the truth now or are you making it up? And you won't be accepted. You won't be loved the way we want to love you. And all the other ways that parents can come up with convincing young people how to act. But just bear in mind that these young people want to join. They want to be part of it. They want to know how to act. What do I do? How do I do it right? And it's the perfect venue to present the commandments to them on the road down there. And then as they get older and then, you know, they can embrace the spirituality of it. But I think, I don't know, I'll look it up before we do our next broadcast, but I think it's believed that children know the difference between the truth and the lie somewhere around 4 years old. Some say it's a little earlier, yep. Some say it's a little later, but let's say it's 4 years old. They know that. And so, hey, that would be the age when you would tell them you shouldn't lie. You should tell the truth. And this would be the way to introduce the Ten Commandments to them. And then, of course, as the development goes on, then you can introduce the rest. And then at some point, they'll have enough to grasp the spirituality that produced this. And that's my theory anyway.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, all right. Now I'm going to go. Look, look. Now we're going to go straight to the word. Hallelujah. Let me break it down Bible style. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this for the young people, for the old people, for the middle-aged people. If you don't know by now, the Bible never presents stealing in a positive light, not in a Robin Hood kind of, not robbing the rich and giving to the poor. No, it's never a good thing. And, you know, like my brother said, he doesn't want us taking anything from anyone. But, you know, what gets me is the reason these are so, this commandment is so relevant. It's like Mr. Prager said, but it's the way, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to, how can we love one another as Christ loved us if we do harm to them in any way, take anything from anyone? Like my brother said, and when I say take anything from anyone, you know, some people, like he said, is real stealthy. That, you know, the word of God says, if a good man of the house knew at what hour the thief would come, you know, this is an act wholly blameworthy because it is a form of treachery. So, yeah, the Bible tells us that people will be stealthy. They will do things on the DL. The other way that they steal is, of course, by taking with violence, you know? And it's funny that this commandment is linked with murder, you know? And it, you know, it's on the same level as murder, you know? Because the word says they have violently robbed the fatherless among such that do such things are wicked kings and rulers. Sir, that's what he said. Then theft can be committed by not paying wages that are not due. Yeah, I'm going to hit everybody. See, my brother hit a lot of them, but I got a few more to hit. Yes. See, there's some of us that call ourselves Christians, and we go to church and we make a big deal about what we put in the plate, but yet we don't pay our employees what they're due. The word of God says the wages of him that have been hired by thee shall not abide by thee until the morning. And what this means is that you have to pay a man, everyone, or a man, a woman, everyone their due. What did the word of God say? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what is God.
Yes.
The fourth kind of theft, another kind of theft is fraud by buying and selling, like my brother mentioned. You know, usury, those things. And now, I'm gonna hit this because this is in the church. Okay. This is when you got an ATM in your vestibule. There's something wrong. When you have a Starbucks in your vestibule, there's something wrong. Because, see, if my memory serves me right, Jesus didn't want money changers in his Father's house then. And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that would tell me he would still have a problem with it today.
Yeah.
Okay. So we, you know, no. And again, there are those, and I'm talking to the folks in the church too now, there are those who commit theft by, you know, donating their way into position. Mm-hmm. Temporal spiritual honors. You know, if I give this much, you know, that's not going to work with God. That's not going to work. And I know, like I said earlier, a lot of people try to discredit the Ten Commandments by saying, Well, girl, we're not under the Mosaic law anymore. Well, as a Christian, you might not be under the Mosaic law, but you are under the law of Jesus, okay? Yes, you are under the law of Jesus Christ. Because the Apostle Paul tells us, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, okay?
Yeah.
So whether we are under the Mosaic law or not, we are still under, as we said, moral law. We still have to live by a moral code, which includes, of course, not stealing. You know, we can't rationalize what truths we'll obey. Like I said, we want to gloss over certain things. You know, thou shalt not steal means that. Like my brother said, you can't steal nobody's good name. You can't steal their trust. You can't not pay them their wages that they're due. There's always kind of ways that we steal, and we want to rationalize that. Because it comes too close to our street. But we've got to get real about what God says in his word about what not to do, because when we, you know, God didn't take stealing lightly. If he didn't take it lightly then, he doesn't take it lightly now. It's always going to be a sin. It's never going to be okay. I get you, my brother, my sister, or my family needs to eat, blah, blah. Okay, your family needs to eat. We understand that, but stealing ain't the way to, that ain't the way to solve the problem.
Yes.
There is never a time when stealing is going to be okay. Word of God said, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Straight up. So that doesn't mean you get to go around taking other people's stuff. You know, we want to look at these commandments and we want to put them in our minds like the big, you know, we remember the big old MGM epic movie, The Ten Commandments. Well, we try to leave the Ten Commandments on that screen. We try to leave the Ten Commandments on the side of the buildings or in the Bible, but we don't want to make that word live. We don't want to activate that word and those commandments and make it our moral compass, make it first of all, in obedience to God. But see, we're talking, for this program, we're talking to the atheists. We're talking to the ones that might not even think there is a God. Well, this is a program that we're going to give you cause for pause and to think about that. Because we came to tell you, okay, so even if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the Ten Commandments, the spiritual side of the Ten Commandments. Like Brother Rick always points out, you like driving down a road where everybody is not colliding into each other, don't you? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we understand we're talking to people all over the world. We're talking to people that, you know, we might be talking to somebody that just called it, yeah, let me see common sense. How you going to put common sense and spirituality together? We just did. Thank you.
We just did. But, and I want to say something, Bishop Shirlene, when you were talking about, you know, not paying the wages that people should be paid. There's lots of ways in this modern market economy that we have, the demand economy that has given us all the prosperity that we have, to defraud and to not do the right thing. And for those people who need more than the Ten Commandments, we have laws. We can support laws. We can put regulations in place. I was talking to a friend of mine who I would say is probably on the political left. And we were talking, and I was talking about, you know, the different regulations. Yes, capitalism has its flaws. Of course, everything has its flaws. And that's why we need laws and regulations in order to keep people in their lanes, to use the traffic analogy again. And he goes, you're for regulations? And I said, well, of course I'm for regulations. And I quoted
One of my favorite authors, his name is Neil Ferguson, genius, Cambridge, Oxford, Harvard. He's now at Stanford, and he's written many books, and I've read a lot of them. And Neil Ferguson encapsulated this so well. He says, which I agree, I'm not saying regulation is bad. I'm saying bad regulation is bad.
Yeah, thank you.
And I got a blank stare from the person that was thinking that I'm just such a capitalist, that capitalists should be able to do everything. And I said, no, they shouldn't be able to. We know what human nature is like. Human nature, because we have the ability of self-reflection, can go from the most evil to the best. And those are the choices that we make. And that Ten Commandments, of course, is part of that training to get us to go to the good side rather than the bad side. But when I made that comment to him and I said, I'm not saying regulation is bad. I'm saying bad regulation is bad.
Bad regulation is bad. Yeah.
We can support laws. We can support laws that keep it's a very complex world that we're in, but keeps everybody in the lane and nothing's going to be perfect, but make fairness, more prevalent.
Yeah, let everybody be represented at the table. That's right.
Yes,
I agree with that. Let everybody be represented at the table. You know, we all supposed to be represented at the table. And if we're not all being represented, then we got some bad regulation going on. And I don't care from where it's coming, it's still all bad. You know, but again, we will play as God's people. Yeah, we have to even the playing field, and we have to let everybody on the field. You know what I'm saying? One of the things that I know God wants us to understand, he has always wanted us to understand, is that he created us all. He loves us. He is not a respecter of persons. There is no superior race. There is no superior party. When it comes to God, we're just his kids, point blank, period. And he has 10 commandments. Now, we deal with the Sadducees and the Pharisees because, you know, they wrote 200 to 1,000, hundreds of laws because they couldn't keep 10. We're asking you to consider, if you do not come from a spiritual background, family, we're really talking to you. We want you to understand that honoring the word of God in his Ten Commandments just makes common sense. Hallelujah. It's common sense. It's things that make our society great. And will keep us great, because if we love one another, if we're not stealing from one another, we're not committing adultery, we're not lying to one another, we're not lying on one another. We're honoring our mother and our father. We're putting God above all. And that's how we show him that we do it. We're doing that. Is by keeping, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them. And see, Jesus even refers to the Ten Commandments when he says, a new commandment I give you. See, he was saying, I didn't do away with the ten. Mm-mm. I'm going to add this one to it. See, because see, the one he gave us was the one that encapsulates that ten. Love God. Love God's people. Love God, obey God, trust God, and serve God, and love his people. See, that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to get to a point where we love one another, where we really love one another in a way that we won't want to do harm to one another in any kind of way. Now, we have a lot of family up in the house, so if anybody has a comment, you can hit your one, because I don't want to just put you on blast. You might not want to. You might be in the house and don't want to speak, and that's totally all right. This is voluntary, but if you'd like to make a comment or have something you'd like to say, hit your one now, and we will bring you on into the house.
Uh-oh, I know who has something to say. Come on, Mother Maxine Scott. Come on in the room. I knew she was here.
Hello?
I'm here,
Bishop
Mother Gibbons. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, this was a wonderful lesson. I'm just wondering how I could obtain Brother Rick's book, or where can I
book is by Dennis
a copy
Prager?
Of
Dennis Prager's book.
Yes,
yes,
ma'am. Yes, it's called, the book is written by Dennis Prager, and my Mother Gibbons, you can get that at any bookstore.
Okay, what's the name of it?
It's called The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code.
Still
the best
moral code.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And
all right, thank you. Well, that was a beautiful lesson from both of you, Bishop Cook and Brother Rick. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mother Gibbons. We love you.
And if
most of
this world would live by the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't be in the trouble we are today.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yep.
Amen, Mother.
Thank you, and God bless you.
You're welcome, Mother Gibbons. Love you. Thank you.
Love you too.
All right, we're gonna go to Mother Matt T. Scott. Mother Matt T. Scott.
Yes, Hi, Bishop Cook, and hi to everyone. God bless you all. I tell you, this Bible study was really a wonderful Bible study because there were things that I did not know. There were things that I did not know, and I learned more, like stealing. The Bible does say, thou shalt not steal, but I'm thinking about material things. But stealing goes beyond material things. Like it said, you can steal somebody's whatever their identity take something away from them that's not materialistic. So I learned things tonight that I did not know. So the Bible study was very good. So we have to be careful, because stealing don't mean only, I hadn't thought about that, don't only mean materialistic. You can take somebody's job in the workplace, just anything. That stealing can come under different headings. But when I thought about stealing, I'm thinking about stealing something out of a store. But no, it goes beyond that. So I learned things tonight. More things that I didn't realize. So, like you said, there's spiritual adultery. I did not know that either. I'm thinking about on human level, human adultery. So I learned things tonight that I did not know. But I do know one thing. You are right. When we accept the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, we automatically married to Jesus Christ. We married to Jesus Christ because we are His church. We are His church. So I know that is so true, because the Lord, you know, he preached the gospel, and he fought and bled and died and preached the gospel. He died for His church, and He died for the sins of the world. So yeah, when we accept the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, we are automatically married to the Lord, because the Lord gave His life up for the church. He did. He gave up His life for the gospel. So I learned more things tonight that I did not realize. It goes on a high level. So I thank you, and I thank the gentleman that was teaching it, and I thank you, Bishop Cook, because you broke it down.
Ma'am.
You broke it down where not only I could understand, but everybody could understand. I thank you, because each time you have a program, I learn more and more and more, and that's what it's all about. When we walk with the Lord, we learn more and more and more. So thank you, Bishop Cook and Spirit Alive family. You are a blessing to all of us. Thank you so much. And to the gentleman, thank you so much for your words, what you taught us as well. And thank you, Bishop Cook, for what you taught us and breaking it down for us. God bless you. Love you always. Love all my spirit of love all my Spirit Alive family. Love all of my Spirit Alive family. And Mrs. Givens love you all, too. She loves her Spirit Alive family. God bless you all.
Amen.
And God bless
God
your
bless
family.
You,
and God bless your ministry. God bless your
thank
ministry because
you.
It's all over the world. All over the world.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Mother Maggie. Well, let's keep this mother roll going.
Welcome.
Mother Mitchell, come on in the room.
Praise God. Wonderful Bible study. Wonderful. We do have to think of it in a broader term, as I see I have heard Sister Givens and Sister Scott say, we have to think of it more in terms of what God expects from us. You know, we all want to be loved, but not at our soul hindrance to
at
our soul.
Yeah, not at our soul's
expense. Committing adultery and doing over here, men getting paid more than women because they men, and we're not in the right lane because somebody said, oh, no, we can't have everybody in that lane. That ain't the right lane. God has the right lane for all of us. And if we're not in God's lane, we sure don't want to be in man's lane because man don't know enough about nothing to even know he knows it. So
come
I
on.
Just thank what God is? For the Ten Commandments being our best moral code because it really is. That's
it is.
Why it's in Exodus and not in Revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's in the
yes,
third chapter of Exodus. Because we need to know that early on, because it is so important to our soul salvation. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you, Brother Allman.
Brother
I appreciate you so much and that you're coming and that you're doing this lesson for us.
Yeah.
Well, I'm learning from it myself.
Amen. We're learning together.
Right.
We're walking and talking it out together. All right, now, I don't know if Apostle Zeta can join us, but Apostle Zeta, if you would have a word, ma'am, you can come on in the room. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I have enjoyed this Bible study because I don't know. Are you there, Apostle Zeta? No. Okay. I'm so glad that all of you came out tonight. I want to thank God again for Brother Lee and Sister Terry. I just want to thank God for Mother Givens and Mother Maggie Scott. And, of course, I want to thank God for my mother. And I just want to thank my brother, Brother Rick Altman, for doing such a phenomenal job. He's bringing, you know, we really love him, what you're bringing to the table, because all these comments are not Dennis Prager. He is doing an awful lot of work. If you were to see this book, these chapters are very, very small, very small.
Yeah.
So he has put a lot of commonsensical thought into helping us to understand what Dennis Prager was saying. And, of course, you know, we have it lined up with the Bible. So I'm just real grateful to everybody that came out tonight, all of you in the chat room. We're grateful. If you have any comments in the chat room, you are more than welcome to type them out, and we will answer them for you. But we do have some comments. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. We have a Michael, and he is in Florida, and he just wants to say to Mr. Rick Altman and to myself, thank you for explaining the Ten Commandments more deeply. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
See, we as Christians, we can't be satisfied to just scratch the surface. You know, we have to really dig deep and really know and go to all points, because if you really think about it, the Bible tells us about things in every situation. You know, we talked about stealing tonight, but there's 20, 50 scriptures about stealing. And it's in all the different ways that you can steal. There's tons of scriptures about the mouth and lying. And, you know, God didn't just tell us something once. He tells us things over and over and over. The things that he talks to us the most about is the things that we have the most problems with. You notice he said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. And they still talking about it in Thessalonians and in Corinthians. And, you know, so Paul is still carrying it on. So apparently the things that God addressed in the Ten Commandments, as we have so said so many times before, is the building block.
Yeah.
It's God's building block. So we need to be more mindful. We need to dig deeper. We need to be prayerful, and we need to know, and we need to be honest with ourselves. You know, we need to stop and ask ourselves some real pointed questions. You know, wait a minute, am I stealing somebody's humility? Have I humiliated someone in public? Have I bore false witness against somebody, or have I been manipulating people? I'm not necessarily talking to the people sitting in the studio. I'm talking to people all over the world.
Yes.
And some of us need to ask ourselves those questions. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not worried about your feelings. Because, see, your feelings are not going to get you into the kingdom. Having enough sense to follow God's word will. So
Amen.
Thank God. We're real glad that you tuned in. I'm going to check back in with Apostle Zeta one more time, because I know sometimes her phone doesn't always, she has technical difficulties. So I just don't want to, you know, not
I'm available, Apostle Cook.
All right, see there, the third time in charge. Praise the Lord, Apostle Zeta. Come on in the room, darling.
Okay. All right. I was dealing with little kids, and there's three more on the way here.
Oh, well, you better talk fast.
Yes, but I enjoyed the entire teaching, and I really don't have any comments to add. Except I just want to say that it was a great teaching. I enjoyed it very much from both of you, and you know, as well as other comments. It was a very good teaching. Oh, hi!
All right, Mother Apostle.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, and God bless. And it
God
was
bless you.
A very good teaching.
Thank you, Mother Apostle. God bless you.
Okay.
Hallelujah. All right. So listen, we've had a wonderful time here on tonight. I think we got everybody in that wanted to speak. Hallelujah. So with that, if there be nothing else, we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Amen. God bless you. And good night, everybody. God bless you, family. I love you. God bless you.
Good night, everyone. We love you.
Good night, everybody. I love you. Good night,
good
Mother
night.
Nephew.
Yeah.
Good night, Mother Gary.
We love you.
Love
you all.
Love
you
too.
Love
you
all. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Hey there. Yes, ma'am. Oh, well, thank you, Charlene. You were too. And, you know, me too. Me too. And it's so simple. And, I mean, on the inside of this cover, the most important words ever written are the Ten Commandments. Thank you, Dennis. These words change the world. Yeah, and Well, you know, we give him all the credit, and he deserves it all. And if we can reach more people to do that, and I didn't want to get into the communism thing too much, but totalitarianism, the first goal of totalitarianism is to destroy the family. I mean, the Hitler youth. Sure. Well, I that's why I didn't hit it too hard. But, gosh, I remember in 1984, one of Winston Smith's neighbor's kids informs on him to Big Brother. You know? And I think we still need to emphasize it. I'm always leery of overemphasizing something. But the fact that the family is the cornerstone for civilization. And how do you have a good family? Well, you know, you have everybody follows these rules. And somebody was, you know, once again, you know, use the driving analogy. And great. Well, next time we'll talk about sports a little bit more, because I really want to emphasize going after the young people with Do Not Lie. I think that's